can listen to our podcast over at am950radio.com. Right now, really happy to welcome in Dr. Maureen Hackett with Howling for Wolves, an organization that has been on the forefront of saving the wolf here in Minnesota and beyond. And Maureen, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, you are so welcome. Thank you for all you've been doing today. In fact, you know, you gave us a shout out for the GiveMN, and we did get response from that, and I actually gave to the Uptake because I really appreciate what they do. So I gave to the Uptake on GiveMN, so I wanted to just say that.
Awesome.
You know, and also, just a real quick thing, how much time do we have? Because
we got about 12 minutes.
Oh, that's a lot of time. The Keystone Pipeline issue, I would like people to consider this when they argue with Senator Franken and Senator Klobuchar, when they tell you, well, you know, they'll get their oil anyway, they'll move it through the railroad carts, they'll do this, they'll do that. You say, no, well, you don't need to give them like a torch to light up, you know, the dirtiest carbon coming out of the ground that's dirty to dig it and dirty to transport it and dirty to burn it. Mm-hmm. We don't need to make infrastructure, you know, investments like that going backwards to the 19th century. And then you just say to them, look, let me just tell you, think about There Will Be Blood, with that movie by Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
They didn't care how many people they killed to get their last drop of oil, and that's just what they're going to do, and that's what they did in the Gulf, and I saw what happened there. So anyway, that's my only comment. I just say, what happens when you burn all that oil?
Absolutely.
Period.
Maureen, you're dead on. I mean, that's just it, and I think your point, very good, that if we go this direction, we are just fast-tracking in the opposite direction of where we absolutely need to go as not only a nation but as a world.
Right. Everybody talks about the big, you know, slow-moving ship. We don't need to turn the wheel the other way, and that's what we're doing. So,
So
back to the wolves. let me just say one thing. If we could come together about the wolves and leave the wolves alone to exist without purposefully killing them for fun, mm-hmm. I think we could come together on a lot of other things. You know, if we could have tolerance for the wolf, for the people who deal with the wolf on a more frequent basis than mm-hmm. you or I, if they would have tolerance for the wolf and we could assist them with the tolerance and we could come together on that, some agreements, you know, I think we could come together on other things between the two parties. And at the state, this coming legislature, you know, there's going to be, there will be wolf bills.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting, Maureen, is I think a lot of people on a lot of issues think it's just left, right, Republican, Democrat, that's all there is to it. But I happen to know that here in Minnesota, there are some people that may lean a little more on the Republican side, but are hunters and are fishermen up in the Iron Range and up in northern Minnesota that respect the level of conservation that this state has provided. And I would imagine there have to be some people, even on that side, that support this cause.
Oh, there are many, many hunters who support this cause. There are many people who, you know, fish, who consume wildlife, grouse hunters, whatever, who think a wolf deserves to exist and doesn't need to be literally torn apart. I mean, what just came out in the press, and I just need to put some science in here, because we talk about how, first of all, Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the entire lower 48 that never went extincted by man. The rest were extincted by man, and many subspecies of wolves have been killed out by man, but not here in Minnesota. So those genes, those wolves have been, you know, gone on thousands and thousands of years right here and with mankind. And 80% of Minnesotans want the wolf to be protected for future generations. So why are we having a wolf hunt? Mm-hmm. It does not protect the wolf. We can look to the reasons, and maybe we can find the reasons later, the big interests that are pushing this, the PR war that Howling for Wolves is fighting. But for right now, we have science on our side. Just 2 days ago, a lot of press was made on this, a functional ecology article out of a peer-reviewed scientific article, very well-renowned authors came out with this thing. Heavily hunted wolves have higher stress and reproductive steroids than wolves with lower hunting pressure. They measured the stress and sexual hormones of wolves through looking at their hair follicles. And they found that when they are hunted, the females basically have their reproductive system goes awry. They have a lot of progesterone. And actually, the males have a lot more testosterone at times of the year when they wouldn't be in breeding. And males only have a season. They have a season for wolves, males, which is very interesting. So you throw all that off, and they actually reproduce at younger ages. And there's chaos. And they don't have, you know, and I'm sure it affects their health, and they do say in this very well-written article, their illnesses. So why are we hunting them?
You know, and again, we're speaking with Dr. Marina Hackett with Howling for Wolves. By the way, if you follow them on Twitter or Facebook, the hashtag that you guys have is, remind me what it is, actually.
Oh, it's just Howling with the number 4 Wolves.
Okay.
Howling for Wolves is our Twitter handle, and mm-hmm. At Howling for Wolves, number 4 Wolves, the number 4. We also have a very active Facebook page at Howling for Wolves, with spelled out FOR.
Now,
as is our website, with our new radio ad, which is fantastic, I think.
It does. Sounds very good. And a hashtag Live in the Let Howl is another one.
Oh, that's the new campaign. Yeah. We will be releasing more about the new campaign, Live and Let Howl, but it really is about, why do we really need to save, keep this wolf here? There are many reasons, but one of the main reasons is that wild wolves, the howls of wild wolves, have inspired us artistically, creatively, for all of mankind, for all of the time that we've existed. So, we should keep these voices forever, protect them.
Now,
we talked about that.
We talk about the bipartisan level on the person-to-person, on just citizens, non-elected officials, and how this is not just a long party lines issue. In fact, it's an issue that a lot of people involved in conservation, even on the right, respect and see as a major issue. But when we get to that political level, when we get to the legislature, we know Republicans are coming into the House. What kind of conversations are you hoping to have to get some headway on this issue?
Oh, boy. I think that people really need to think about, why Minnesotans of many different places throughout the state benefit from having a wild wolf population that's healthy, that is left alone and not causing more trouble by being persecuted, but also that's allowed to exist. Because there's a branding there, opportunity that people are just absolutely need to take advantage of, and not in a bad way, not in a selfish way, but the fact that we have wolves that live in the wild here, we can really, to use a bad term, but exploit that in terms of tourism, in terms of image and branding. You go to places because, they have sort of an image or something you're thinking about. A lot of reasons people come here is for the wild, the wilderness that we have. And the wolf is absolutely a key to that wilderness. And the one thing that people will remember the rest of their life is if they heard a wolf howling in the wild. I mean, that is like a memory-searing event. And, you can't bottle that. You have to just allow it to exist. You can't buy it back when it's gone, and that's something people need to understand. This wildlife, this is not only a branding, but it is valuable, and you can't buy it back.
Maureen, we've talked about this several times before, but you run into some stereotypical issues. There is a lot of myths, a lot of misconceptions that people have about the wolf. They look at it as just a predator species, and why should we not get rid of something that people view as this incredibly violent wild animal? How do you feel the campaign is going to re-educate people as to the reality of it?
Well, you're right. There are so many myths about the wolves. We have to really keep people, actually you'd rather run into a pack of wild wolves than a pack of wild dogs. Wolves are, you're right. How do you tell people are not, wolves are naturally afraid of humans? You
right.
just have to keep saying it. We haven't let them alone. They had to be protected. In terms of there's just this hatred, this killing that goes on, that it's a very small minority of people, but we didn't wipe it out by having the wolf on the endangered species list. We have to do our due diligence following this delisting as a state, come together and say, look, we didn't do the PR for the wolf. We have not done the assessment of human attitudes, and we need to do that. And as an organization, that's what we are doing. And we take contributions, and we'll be trying to do more, like non-lethal methods research. The common person, most people do not have as horrific a vision of wolves as you think.
Good.
80% of Minnesotans in our very well done Lake Research Partner poll said they wanted to protect the wolf for future generations. What I think people get confused by is when you have a hunt, you have people believing they need to be managed. You have people believing they need to be killed. And the reality is the wolf was stable without a hunt for 10 years
right.
before the first hunt. And then the population dropped 25%. And now they say it's stable, but it's still down.
And not to mention that this plan here in Minnesota to start the wolf hunt again was in its inception before they were even taken off the endangered species list, and then immediately ushered right in as soon as that ended. So the idea that this is a reaction to a problem, no one looking at the facts on this can see it that way. And I appreciate that you guys are out there at Howling for Wolves. Again, you can find the website howlingforwolves.org. And today is Give to the Max Day, and I assume people can just click on a link over there, right? Right,
Maureen? Yeah, we have a link on our website. It's easy to get to, and you can listen to our new radio ad at some point, too.
There you go. Dr. Maureen Hackett with Howling for Wolves. Again, that website, howlingforwolves.org. I really appreciate you coming on today.
You are very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And we're going to be back wrapping up a Thursday here on the Daily Report.
On November 8th, 250 Minnesota wolves were sentenced to death by a reckless wolf hunting and trapping season. Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected for future generations. Managing wolves through a recreational wolf hunt is not the answer. Indiscriminately killing non-problem wolves actually makes wolf packs unstable. They scatter when their family unit is broken. This fall, Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. We can use non-lethal methods to maintain the stability of Minnesota's wolf packs. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.